Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President, John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Just as a quick reminder as we get started, if you're interested in downloading today's episode's notes in a PDF format, maybe you're interested in bringing Perry, one of our facilitators, in to do some training, or even if you just want to leave a comment or you have a question for a future podcast, please feel free to visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast, and you can accomplish all of that there. Well, today's topic is titled, Are You Working In Your Business or On Your Business? And this is a great question that every leader needs to be asking themselves, something that we hear about, we talk about frequently. We try to do ourselves, probably don't do a great job of it. But tell me a little bit more about where this title came from.
Yeah, it comes up a lot in conversations with leaders, especially in the coaching context, about find that leaders can get really heads down working in the business, you know, which means executing the, you know, the daily task of running the business. And they forget the need to work on the business, which is it's so tempting to be working in the business, the daily execution, but working on the business, I kind of need to raise my head up. Many of our listeners will recognize this concept from the classic Michael Gerber book, The E-Myth, or E-Myth Revisited, E meaning entrepreneurial. In the book, Gerber really talks about that most businesses, and I'm thinking for a leader, whether with you're a first-line manager, your department, that's your business.
That's your business, right? That's right.
And so most of us fail because we are really good technicians. We're not really good at being a manager or having those entrepreneurial qualities. And I thought, wow, that was really true about me. And just to give a little definition to that, and I'll get you to comment on it, was the technician lives in the present and all about doing the job. I kind of think that's how I got promoted. I was really good at doing the job of sales. I got promoted to a sales manager. I was a really good technician. The manager role does more planning and organizing. He or she will then cling to that status quo, and we crave order. We want to put things in process and all that. But the entrepreneur is really this visionary, living in the future and moving from idea to idea without setting up all these necessary processes and systems. The business is not going to succeed in real life.
Well, you know, most of us have progressed in our career into leadership positions because we were an individual contributor. And oftentimes, even for me, right, you still stay in that mode and want to produce and want to have your hands on the there and now. It's really, we talk about this on the five levels of leadership being a level three skill where we talk about, you know, producing in and through teams in order to build kind of leadership credibility. Well, for leaders, it means that, you know, not only are we working in the business, because you can never stop completely doing that, but how are we helping our team with the day-to-day, but also taking some time to step out and set sights on the future and what needs to happen in the business to get to that future. Two things it makes me think about. Think time, you know? It goes back to how do we begin to carve out and schedule and spend times as leader thinking about our business, thinking on it instead of being in it. And then the great quote, which you'll appreciate this from Gandhi, a man is but the product of his thoughts, what he thinks he becomes. And so if we were to really take that into consideration about what we think about on a daily or weekly basis, what is our business would become what it is today. It wouldn't grow and it wouldn't innovate anything what it needs to keep up.
Well, that's what I'm finding is that it's so easy to be this technician. I didn't like that statement at first when he labeled it that, but I go, that's exactly what I am.
I'm
really good at executing the day-to-day as a technician. And it's, you know, like you said, it's how I got my first leadership role
was
being good at that.
Yep.
The common mistake that I think we make is that we do a lot of the work ourselves instead of really teaching and delegating that. And that's really what it's five levels. When I talk about producing results at level three, that I can't be doing it all myself.
But don't we have this control tendency?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're like, well, we're not hitting our quota or objectives, and so I've got to be doing this, and it's the I part of it. And it's just, it's a natural tendency, and we got to break that. And I think that in order for us to end up having success, your business cannot depend on completely on you. You got to be a part of it. Don't get me wrong. But you have to make sure that you're thinking about how is the business working without you? How are you opening doors and developing plans to allow your team, allow the business itself to be more successful and have strategies that make sense and that align with the future versus, again, having the control of the here and now.
Right. Well, Michael Gerber calls it the mindset is about, do you have a mindset about building a business or doing the business?
Mm.
I notice in almost all the coaching
we do,
and I have to be honest, this for me is me too, because I get so focused on the day-to-day in there helping with all great intention, I want to help people, but I'm in the day-to-day, and I'm not thinking about the future and the vision and the positioning and the staffing and the motivation that we talked about on a previous podcast.
Yeah.
That building a business means putting these systems in place that produce results for customers.
Mm.
And you mentioned that statement about seeing the business work without me. I heard Andy Stanley say that the first time I ever heard it. I go, wow, I don't think I can. Most people I know, including me, I want to see the business work because of me.
Yeah.
And he says, work without me. That's a very a secure place for a leader to be, that you say, how can I make this team so successful that if I pulled myself out, I would actually be able to focus on other things and it would continue without me. One question that Gerber poses in the book is, how can you get your business to work without you, freeing you to do other things?
Yeah.
I wonder when you're running a business, how do you do that? How do you free yourself?
I don't know. I was hoping this title in your podcast would help me out, Perry, but obviously that's not going to be the case. You know, it's so hard. I think you've got to be disciplined. I'll share this quick story. I was had the opportunity. I was on the road with John and then Mark Cole, our CEO, and we were having a conversation between the three of us. Really, it was between the two of them, and I was listening to the dialogue back and forth, and John continued to press and almost charge Mark to be like, hey, there are a couple things in the organization that only you can do, and that's your responsibility. These other seven things that we've talked about, other than the top three, you've got to be asking yourself the question, who is it on your team that can do that can take that off your plate so that you don't get bogged down in the minutia of the day-to-day part of running the enterprise? And I started thinking about that. And that's probably the least thing that I do is go, wow, who on my team could do this for me? Because I want to share the load. I want to carry it. But at the point in time, there are things, hear me this, there are things that only you can do for your organization, your department, your business that no one else can do. And you can't hand those off. But there are things that as a leader, we want to have control. We think we can do it better than anybody else, that we've got to think about who is it on our team that can be doing it better. And so I was listening to John really talk to Mark about that. And I was like, wow, that is so true. What if every department began, every leader began to have that thought in the conversation? We would have a leadership bench so strong, succession planning all the way through organizations. It might put us out of business. So then I thought, well, then don't share that with people. But, you know, we have to, as leaders, we have to train, we have to equip, continue to develop our team so that they can carry the load. We can't just expect them to do that and ask them to do that. We got to make sure we have the right systems and processes in place. And if we can build something that has somewhat of a succession mantra at every level, then I think we're doing the right thing.
That reminds me, you know, we have the OES is a effectiveness survey. Why don't you mention that? Because that's maybe a way to shine some light on how this.
No, absolutely. And I think that the employee engagement and the satisfaction indicator assessment that we've developed and partnered with, called Organizational Effectiveness Survey, is one that allows you to kind of measure the leadership and the people. More importantly, we're talking a little bit about strategy right here, the strategy behind it, and then performance. It measures those four areas. And for the longest time, we've had this survey, and we've used it for our large corporate clients. But I'm pretty excited. We just created recently a different version, kind of a slim down, something for you to kind of look at as we begin thinking about 2020 and where we're going, what do we need to work on. And so if that's something that you're interested in, if you'll go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/OES. You can learn a little bit more about that, but I appreciate that because I, I, I agree. It aligns perfectly with that.
So I like what you said about training, equipping, developing the team, that they carry the majority of the load so that you can kind of remove yourself. But I wonder if there are things that you do to help people become more independent of you. And I'm thinking about this. We've talked about it several times on the podcast, but being this autonomy, trusting them to do the work. Is there a struggle there? Is it? Is there a pull?
Yes. Yes. But again, I've learned, you know, obviously having the privilege of working with John and for years and years and years, he talks a lot about, hey, listen, if a team member can do something 85% as good as you can, give it to them and let them run with it. Set the guardrails. It's why we talk about having a common language around your leadership and your culture. And for us, it's the methodology of the five levels. It's the same thing with any type of project, any type of responsibility. Develop a common language between you and your team member. Set some boundaries, some guardrails. And even if they can only do it 85% as good as you can right now, let them go. Let them do it, because they're going to come back and I'm going to hurt some pride here between you and I. They're going to do it better than we can. And so just know that as leaders, you need to be doing that. And I think the other thing, too, as part of that, when I talk about guardrails, you know, you have to communicate and set the expectations around the standard of their performance and the results of what you're looking for in order for your team to be on the same page. And we've talked a little bit about this in a previous podcast when it comes to standard of performance and expectations.
What did John tell you? Work yourself out of a job, or
yeah?
I was trying to tell them that this week, but I forgot it.
No, that's it. So I joke around all the time. I've been working for John for 21 plus years. I started when I was 4. And so
that was 5. But yeah,
5. And so when I first started working, I'll never forget this as a kid. He used to say, hey, work yourself out of a job and I'll find another job for you. If you don't work yourself out of a job, you might not still have a job. And so I'm young, you know, starting my career. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I got a family to feed. I got responsibilities. And I just didn't understand what he was talking about, and I do understand now, and he's proven that to be true over and over and over again.
One thing that comes up when I coach to this is that I bring up so what do I do working on the business? I said, well, when John talked about this all the time, you need to be a change agent. Now, we have an entire podcast on this. It's difficult for a lot of leaders. They say, well, why do we need to change? We're just trying to keep up with where we are now. I said, because I think we tweeted this, is that if there's no need for change, there's no need for a leader.
Yeah.
So that's what you do when you pull yourself back from the day-to-day work and let them, the team, carry the load. Then you are the change agent to think, where are we going next?
That's right. Yeah, we talk about the fact that you as a leader have to continuously be looking for ways to improve your business. You have to, we've mentioned this before, when it comes to vision and where we're going as a business. And again, to Perry's point, when we say business, we're talking about your team. We're talking about your department, whatever it is. You have to be able to see further than they can see. And then you have to be able to communicate that effectively in order to mobilize the team to get there. But you cannot see that. You cannot see the change. You cannot see where the team is going unless you take time to step back, have think time, and begin to think on the business and challenge yourself on where you guys are currently as a business unit and how you can improve that.
Well, I'm going to let you wrap this up. And my final thought that comes from firsthand experience, unfortunately, was that when I find myself most working in the business, I'm finding myself in that urgent and important quadrant of urgent and important. And if I can move myself and fight to get into that not urgent but important quadrant, then I can begin to work on the business.
That's
because
good.
All those not urgent,
yes,
but they're very important, strategy, resources, people, team, future, vision, change, it's all over there in quadrant 2. But here I am over in quadrant 1, urgent and important.
How relevant are those quadrants? I mean, it continues to come back up time and time again, and just some brilliant stuff. Well, let me wrap up by giving you a couple points, couple thoughts, and then the last thing I'll give you is a quote that just kind of really put this all in a nice little bucket for me and kind of shook me a little bit too about the importance of it. You know, we live in a time now where the future has never been more important to our business. John does some talks and some lessons on, you know, how the fact that times now are faster than they've ever been, and distances now are shorter than they've ever been, and we need to be paying attention to that. And it got me thinking about, you know, when it comes to innovation and technology and everything inside your business are changing. And I read this statistic where it said it took telephone and automobile industry over 50 years to reach 50 million users or consumers, buyers. It took Facebook only 3 years to get to the point where they reached 50 million people. And you think about that difference, and it continues to shrink, right? It's getting faster and faster. And so we have to, as leaders, listen to me, we have got to schedule think time. Bill Gates with Microsoft, he at a minimum 1 week a year completely checked out from his day-to-day responsibilities and would think on the business. He'd read articles, he'd read posts, he'd read different things. So whether it's, I don't know, maybe you start with 1 hour a week on a Friday morning before everybody gets in the office, or maybe it's your lunch, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a day a month. I'm not sure what it is, but I need you to schedule it. I need you to make it a priority, because we make time for things that are a priority to us, right? And so we need to go ahead and schedule it. And when you're doing it, take time to read stuff, listen to podcasts, maybe even journal some of your thoughts, maybe read some articles on innovation out in the future. And so this, as I talk about that, that's one of the things I was doing. I was reading an article on technology and innovation, and this comes from a guy by the name of David Hansen, who is a programmer. He's in the technology business. And he said, and I'll leave you with this quote, "The sooner you stop fighting the present, the sooner you can get to work on figuring out the future." And I thought, man, all I do is fight the present, right? I'm hit every day. And I was like, oh, that's so good. The sooner you stop fighting the present, the sooner you can get to work on figuring out the future.
I love that. And it just really a reminder, if you're working in the business, you got to do that some.
Yes.
But you need to be working on the business. That's your job as a leader. Thank you, Chris. Great stuff. As a reminder, if you want to know more about the five levels, about a workshop, or get the show notes from this today, the Learner Guide, you can go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can grab those there. You can also leave us a comment or a question. We always love hearing from you. Again, we're grateful for your presence. And this is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.